Rangers. And I think we've got the feeling out there now. And the music is secondary. Which is what I wanted to do all along, you know, like, just get a group of five people putting out a feeling without all that musical hiding places and whatnot, or musical chairs or what have you. Which I think that more people should do. We did it, you know, we don't have to do it anymore.
Are you able to step back a little bit and view the relative accessibility of your music to the masses? And if so, how do you view this album?
Well, I can't imagine anybody not wanting to feel good, like, you know, when I hear this album, you see. And I think that's what I've been wanting to do. I'm glad that I can do it. I'm glad that, you'll play it to the people, because I think they need it. I think there's got to be some humor now. I mean, there must be some humor in this world. This world needs some humor. And I think that this record is very humorous.
Do you think it needs a new dance craze?
I think that I think the world needs a new dance craze. But the thing is, they want me 5 years from now to sell a record on TV. I'm not going to do it. I mean, you know, like in
you once tried to sell a record on
Chubby
TV.
Chubby Checker, huh?
You once tried to sell a record on TV, though, didn't you? Didn't you do a record?
Oh, I did a commercial, which was it was only an excuse, because it was actually a film, a 1 minute film. It wasn't actually meant to be a commercial, but they banned it at that because it said "Lick My Decals Off, Baby," which to me meant get rid of the labels. Maybe the children would get rid of the labels because the older people seemed to like them, you see, and the older people didn't like that. They said that it said "lick" in it and it was nasty, you know. I mean, I didn't even mean that. I mean, not that I think there's such a thing as vulgar, but they do, you see. I mean, they're the ones that are hiding their feet in shoes and all that kind of stuff.
And you wear shoes.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is I'll take them off and show people my feet if they want to see them.
Well, maybe we'll get some calls to that effect. We could show people your feet tonight.
I'd sure as hell be glad to show them.
We might take him up on that. You're listening to WBCN in Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, the imagination.
They
about
can
your
use
feet.
Their imagination and see if they can see my feet.
But there's no room for imagination in a pair of shoes.
I wear them 3 or 4 sizes too big, so there's more room than you think.
Up in the tip. Let's play this low yo-yo stuff. Anything you want to say about it? Or should we just let the primitive jungle rhythms take over?
Let's let the primitive jungle rhythms take over.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay. Say one thing. Wait. I talked to a friend of mine recently that just got back from Africa. And at the source of the Nile, there were hippopotamuses diving through soap suds like 10 feet high. There's pollution. Soap suds at the source of the Nile. 10 feet in the air. And the hippopotamuses and alligators diving in and out of these soap suds. Can you imagine that?
At the foot of the Nile?
Yeah.
Wow.
Tide's getting higher every year. Soap tide, soap suds, all this. That's ridiculous, man.
Is it that much industry? That much heavy industry over
sure,
there?
Sure, over here and over there. You know, like, just like I said in Los Angeles, everybody in L.A. gets an oil well whether they like it or not. You know, some people are rich and some people aren't, but they all get an oil well.
Oil wells come to those who wait.
Right in the eyes, man. Right in all the holes. You get it in all your holes. And I think that it's disgusting. I put out that thing, you know, that thing on Petrified Forest on Lick My Decals Off, Baby. I was talking about the fact that they've unleashed these things, like you find oil in the sand, it's all ripped up. They didn't put anything back. You know what I mean? They just pulled it out and let the dinosaur right out of the ground. He's not supposed to be here, and, I don't tell me to shut up.
You're listening to WBCN in Boston. I have to say that. I'm going to get Don a new microphone so that we can hear him a little better and he'll be more comfortable. But we'll listen to something from the forthcoming album first. That's low yo-yo stuff, which gets you to itching and dancing and scratching. We'll pause for a couple of commercials so we can spend more time talking with Captain Beefheart, okay? Why do you use
that? Man Fleet.
Why do you use, when did you, how did you conceive of the name Captain Beefheart?
Well, my, do you want me to, I can't say it, it's too vulgar. over there. I know.
Could you say it in a...
King's Run.
Could you do it in delicate fashion?
No way. No. I'll tell you sometime, though.
Okay.
I'll tell everybody that wants to know when I see him, wherever I see him, but I can't say it. I know the restrictions, you know, the girdles that they make us wear. But one thing is that the girdles that they make us wear... Well, wait a minute. My grandfather, or my uncle, Alan, who was from Whistle Stop, it washed away in the flood. It's somewhere down near Mississippi where he's from. He's the one that came up with the beef heart. Now, I came up with the captain and the magic band I came up with, but he came up with the beef heart. A little later, I'll tell you about that.
Are you still calling
me? I'd be glad to write it through the mail, you know.
We could do a mail order thing. Send people pairs of shoes and...
Sure, why not?
How you could form them.
Four sizes too big.
I think you should say, we should tell people that you're not appearing right now in Boston. You're just here to visit.
I just came down to see everybody I know and everything, and I came to see Marblehead and Salem and find out where all those artists went up in smoke, you know, and I wanted to see Maine, and I wanted to see... I didn't see, by the last time I was there, I was strictly, you know, playing, and I didn't get a chance to work my way around and see what was going on, you know, so I thought I'd come back and see, but I will be back here playing soon, you know, like, I would have played this time, but I couldn't get a hall.
And that's remarkable. That's, you know, that's unbelievable and something that, that a lot of people probably in radio land right now are regretting.
It's absolutely true, though, that all of the halls were taken up with ivy and things. No, I'm just kidding. Well, there's a lot of people playing around here, and too many people playing for me to play this time, so I'll be back, you know. Everybody has to have a turn.
That's true.
Yeah.
How are you spending most of your leisure time, and where?
Well, up in, I've moved. I just, every time I go on a tour, I leave my house. I'm renting a house. I'd like to go to the house, and then I go to the next house, you see. I can't see paying for something that I'm not living in. So, and on this record, I said my head is my only house unless it rains. And this ballad on this record.
What happens when it rains?
Well, then I have to get under a structure. Other than that, you know, like my head is my only house. But when it rains, you have to run inside like a turtle, you know. We're not as lucky as turtles. You know, we're nude apes running around.
But they don't have furniture. Turtles don't have furniture, for the most part.
Well, they're too hip. Unless they end up on somebody's glass, around somebody's glasses, you know, cut holes in them and look out through at the world like some of these businessmen.
Turtles wind up very often on Van Lon shirts along with alligators.
Those are a lot safer because cotton doesn't cry as loud as flesh.
Do you have some? You have some harmonicas with you. Do you call them harmonicas? Do you call them harps?
Well, if they pull my mustache, I call them son of a bitch. But if not, I just don't even think about what they are. It's almost like a very restricted short railroad track or something. You run up and down it and. If you're lucky, you can break the notes, make the ties come off and untie them. But if you're not lucky, you end up sounding like Johnny Rivers. You know, it depends. But I'll tell you one thing. Since the Beatles came out, I haven't been able to find a good harmonica.
Have you ever?
I'm not talking about the Beatles on the ground. I'm talking about the Beatles up in the sky.
Have you ever thought of developing your own harmonica?
My own harmonica?
Yeah. Or do you not have the time for that?
Well, I have the time, but I don't have the money. You know, it's very expensive. I offered Honer $100, you know, like, give me a harmonica that won't, that in one playing I can't suck the reeds out of. And they said, well, there's no such a thing.
Hmm.
And I said, why is that? I said, with all the skill, you make great cars, you know, can't you make a good instrument anymore?
Honer makes cars?
Yeah, that was in Germany. Yeah, Honer makes, what is it, Mercedes-Benz, Volkswagen. I'm just kidding, you know. They play things that'll choke you, but they don't play anything that'll let you breathe anymore.
Could you play something for us? Do you feel like it?
Sure. I'll play a short one. Get out your rulers. I'm going to play a short one.
I'm going to play a commercial, then I'd like to play, we'll play Your Favorite Musician in the World.
Yeah.
Is he your favorite musician in the world?
Lightning Slim. Yeah.
Lightning Slim. That might be a surprise to many of you, but maybe not. Hey, with Captain Beefheart, who's in town just on vacation for about a week, there was a gig originally scheduled for Boston University, perhaps, or Northeastern, but they couldn't find a hall, so that's not happening. The next time you can see him anywhere in this area is Saturday night at Town Hall in New York City.
But how long are you going to be on, Norm? Hi, how are you?
Hello. Charlie is the mass terrorist, Mike. Victor, hey.
How are you?
A round of introductions here.
Are you behaving?
I'm being as good as I can.
I heard you were signing people's autographs with rocket shoes.
You mean space shoes?
Space shoes?
Yeah. We got them makes of the marks.
Someone just called in with a question.
What is it?
Whatever the question was about the lyrics.
Oh, about the old farted play, the on the Trout Mask replica. Well, that is a book that I have written that should come out soon. When I say soon, I'm looking for a publisher that actually will get it to everybody, rather than just using it for their own devices or whatever. But it's a book. It's actually a book. And I just use that as an advertisement on that album, for the book, which will follow.
But that was a few years ago.
I know, but the thing is that, like I say, I've got 14,000 songs, man, and it's it takes a long time to get things like that out. I'd love to put them out right now, but when I put it out, it's a very humorous, jovial, I'm using the wrong word. But anyway, it's hard to use words, Like, I have a book coming out also called The Word Crawler with a Razor Blade. I've got a lot of books that are going to come out. In those 3.5 years in that house, I was writing books. And soon those books will be out, probably through God's Golfball Productions, my own publishing company. Which I think is a better idea, because I know I'm going to put it out. Random House is real nice. I called them up in San Francisco, and I said, would you like to put out my books I've written for 3.5 years in my house? And the guy says, well, come up and we'll have a drink. Like that, and I said, I don't want to drown. I want to put out this book, you see. So that did that.
I always thought Random House...
He'll really be sorry when he finds out about my books. He's telling me to come up and have a drink.
I always felt Random House was a great name for a publishing company. Or publishing house. Random House. Could you sing something
too
for
random.
Us?
Too random. No, I'm just kidding.
Could you sing something for us?
Sure. Yes, it's that old black snake sucking my rider's tongue. Yes, it's that old black snake sucking my rider's tongue. I don't want you fooling around my mate. I'm on a use her. I'm gonna use her. I'm gonna use her for myself. Yeah, he stands and he watch me
every morning when I go home.
Leave home. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know he stands and he watch me every morning when I leave home. Yeah, you know I don't want you fooling around by me. I wanna use her for myself.
I can't get it, man. Let me explain something. Now, this is no offense. I just can't get through this microphone. It's too little. I know what they're hearing, you see, and the thing is I can't... Do you know what I mean? I mean, the thing is, you know, I mean, I can't get it through there, you know, like what I want to get through there.
Do you think it might be a matter of you not being able to hear it? Feel free.
Have you heard? Coming way down in Natchez, Mississippi town. Ooh. Yeah, the whole building started to burning. Damn, my baby laying on the ground. Shattered Jones was there. Lily A was there.
It's a strange context, too, you know.
And I couldn't get down. I get nervous. You know, I'm kind of nervous because it's...
It's a radio station.
No, I'm not nervous because of that.
This by eye. I'll lower your volume. Dip it into that Coca-Cola.
Dip it into my Coca. I should dip myself in there for being fool enough to drink all those damn things.
Guitar. Take that guitar solo. A lot of people say that, just suppose that one of your major influences or favorites would be Howlin' Wolf.
No.
But yesterday you said that's not true.
No. I like him, though. I think he's a wonderful man, you know. I think the Stones could have been a lot nicer to him. And maybe even the Pebbles.
But what about the music you listen to? You don't listen to very much music.
I don't have a chance. I'm too busy trying to get out my one album a year when I do about 15 a day. You see, like I have to go through that little musical erethra.
You talked about, yesterday when we were talking, you mentioned where and under what circumstances you wrote this new album.
I wrote it driving from my hotel in Boston, or was it Cambridge? Cambridge.
Cambridge, right.
To that gig we were gonna play. Now, where was that, though?
Worcester, I think.
Worcester, that's right, yeah, it was a nice, I really enjoyed it, yeah.
That was about a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wrote it driving along in this, rented Hertz, you know, and it hurt, you know, the idea of slopping along that thing.
If you write that many songs, and if you could if you potentially have that many albums in you, how do you decide? How do you pare it down? You just, do you use a random method or what?
Well, where I was, I always like to write something wherever I am at the time. And I got that feeling out of this country, you know, out of the people and everything, to do that particular set of tunes that's on this new album. I guess I got a clear spot, you see. And the thing is that I thought, well, I'll put it out. You know, I don't know how I do it. You know, like, I've got so many, man, I've got 14,000 songs written. You know, or
poems. 14,000, are you used, is that a real number?
14, that is 000? A real number, because I counted them before I left the house. It's the first time I've ever done anything like that.
Counting all your songs?
Yeah, I've never done it before, like old King Cole counting his.
Do you keep them on file? Or?
Oh, yeah, I have them on file. Yeah, I have them in a vault there.
Under what sort of filing system do you use them? Songs about cars, songs about amputees, songs. How do you categorize
them? I did
do
a thing called as viewed through the eyes of a switchman with Parkinson's disease, but I was talking about the old people that are so uptight they want to let the blood go through their veins, you know, that are running our government, you know, flipping the switches, you know, derailing us and railing us and railroading us and, you know.
And goading us.
Yeah, oh, man.
Question from the floor, from Radioland, actually. What is the question?
It says, how did you conceive of title plus album cover on Trout Mask Replica? Well, on Trout Mask Replica, there were so many, I just thought that it would be nice that people would look into the water at the fish, you say, and the carp being the one with the best possible intestines, who lives for 500 years, they found him, you know, alive. I thought that it was amazing that that the carp's face, you see, instead of using a trout's face, I use a carp's face, because he was able to go through all this pollution. And even now they're finding them dead, you see. And I just, the trout mask replica, using the carp's face on my head like that, I thought maybe that people would realize that pollution problem. I don't know, it's just a very naive way of, you know.
How much do you care about the pollution problem or the government or other things like that crop up here and there in your conversation?
I care plenty. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to, that's why I don't use any narcotics, because I don't want to delude what I had to begin with. You know, I mean, I want my mind to be the way it is. You know what I mean?
Well, physically and mentally, you've performed some astounding feats, some superhuman feats.
You mean like staying up for...
Right, that type of thing. And I'd like you to tell people about that.
Well, I stayed up for a year and a half one time, but it was with very good nutrition and whatnot, you know, and obviously no narcotics, or else I wouldn't have been able to stay up that long. But the only reason I stayed up that long is because it was a time in my life that I was pretty pressured. You know, I was worrying about Vietnam, and I still am, but I mean, I found out that I just couldn't keep staying up worrying about it. But I mean, I also researched a lot of things. I figured since they broke the sound barrier in 1950, I could break the sleep barrier in 1960. You see what I mean?
Were you in the process of putting an album together at that time, during that year and a half?
I think I was in the process of putting myself back together, but then I realized that I was already together, and somebody convinced me that I wasn't, you know, by trying to look through other people's eyes. So I just realized that I was what I was, they say.
So that was a year and a half of staying awake,
yeah,
without nodding out at all. What do you think you got out of it?
Bags under my eyes.
How'd you look after a year?
I looked all right. They saw me on Save His Milk. That was during that time. You know, I mean, after sleeping all those years, being blatantly asleep, you know what I mean, and not knowing what was really going on around me, I figured it was time I found out. And I think I got off easy, only being awake a year and a half like that, because it was really a time in my life. I mean, I had been an artist all my life. I mean, when I was 5 years old, I was a sculptor. And then, when I turned 13, I just basically got out of art, period. You know, which I thought it was really ridiculous. You know, so finally I realized that I was an artist again, that I was an artist, and I had the guts to be an artist, and I better be an artist. You know, and I wasted all that time from the time I was 13 to the time I was 24 just virtually being asleep.
And now you paint a lot every day.
Sometimes 300 a night. Yeah.
How about the period in your life when you stayed in your house for an extended period of time?
I stayed in for 3.5 years. I was writing. I wrote 80 and 90 and 100 and 120 and 30 and 40 pages a day, every day.
Pages of what?
I was trying to make up pages of writing. I was trying to make up for all of that sleep. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, it was, you know.
So those two periods overlap.
Well, the staying up for a year and a half made me realize that I'd better get busy and start giving something of myself, since I was eating and things like that, that I should put out something for people and myself. Serve my function. You know what I mean?
How long did you sleep the first night you decided, or afternoon, whenever it was, when you decided to go to sleep?
24 hours.
And what did you do when you woke up?
I just thanked the donut that I was able to wake up. You know.
And then what happened?
I didn't pour any coffee through my hole, you know, like most donuts. I don't know. I got up and I wrote a thing called Strictly Personal, you know, which was an album that there was a lot of discrepancy over that album. Somebody poured Alka-Seltzer, Bromo-Seltzer all over it while I was in England. A fellow named Krasnow. You have to admire the fact that he tried to do something, though. Do you know what I mean? At least
He
had the guts to paint on another artist's picture.
You really haven't been touring that much or that for that long. Why is that?
Well, I just now have gotten the group together, and they've gotten together the way they want it. You see, we all got it together the way we wanted it. And I just thought that it would be nice if there was a group up there doing something they really wanted to do and not creating a war on the stage or lording it over the audience or huge amplifiers that break people's eardrums, you know, that just magnify the fact that the sound is too much, and no fast Oldsmobiles or fast Chevrolets or whatnot, you know, on the stage.
Legend has it that a number of the musicians in your group were taught to play their respective instruments by you.
Well, let's put it this way. I kept them away, or tried to keep them away, with, you know, and they agreed to this, to keep away from stealing other people's music and stuff and not parroting the rest of the things that were out. I tried to keep them away from the rote, you know, like rut, you know, like having their fingers go. You know how guitar necks and bass necks and stuff are usually worn out in one area? You see them in a pawn shop and you see a great big ditch right near the E or near the high strings, you know, like the sensationalistic part of the instrument, you know, the high, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I thought that I would try to have everybody utilize the whole thing, mainly themselves, though, to forget the damn instrument. You know what I mean? And jump out of the water once in a while. You know.
And do you think you've achieved that now over the years?
Well, of course, no man can tell any other man, or no woman can tell any woman, or a man can't tell a woman, or a woman can't tell a man anything. I think that we, by the looks of this album and the sound, the feel of it, I think that we did pretty good. And they did it themselves, you know. I just kept, we just stayed in that house for a long time, and they decided to use what they had in their own minds. You know what I mean? And for a while, they used me for an excuse to hide behind. But now they're hiding less behind me and coming out on their own, you know. And I didn't mean to be any father figure, cosmic father, daddy, or anything. I just wanted to hear a group that played because they wanted to, not for money or power or anything like that. Men get together usually and have to have a damn war. You know what I mean? And I thought if people used music for love rather than war purposes, or to tell somebody, so I can't tell anybody anything, man.
This is WBCN in Boston.
I can suggest things, you know, and they can suggest things to me. But you can't tell anybody anything, you know.
Who's in the band now? Who are the members of your crew?
Rockette Morton on bass and guitar. Zudor and Rollo on guitar. Ode Horn on bass, who is Roy Estrada, and also Ode Horn. And Art Tripp on drums, and his name is Ed Marimba. He also plays marimba, you know, or anything else he can get a hold of, you know, whisk broom, anything. Jingles change in his pockets. Plays a lot of pool. He's a very good pool hustler. Very clever. But that's who. And mixing and on outside, you know, like mixing on the board is the Mascara Snake, Victor Hayden. He's here right now. He played clarinet, you know, bass clarinet on Trout Mask. Now he's mixing the music. Nobody else can mix it, you know.
Hmm. Where do you record?
Be on the stage again, you know, who knows? But he's a painter, and he's showing a lot of his paintings on this trip, on this tour. Maybe have an exhibit in New York.
You're playing in New York, too,
mm-hmm.
aren't you?
Town Hall, yeah.
Is that this weekend?
Yeah. That should be good.
I want to play something else from your album now. Play,
sure.
Play Clear Spot.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we'll be back. For more of this, Charles will be a little late, but that's all right. We'll catch up with him later.
Well,
the microphone can't reach
more
you.
More lightning and less of slam.
I take it back. The microphone can reach you. You don't need a microphone.
More lightning and less of them. No.
I'm talking to the tensor light. We don't need a microphone.
Is this it?
That's the one.
You better screw your speakers down on your Datsun.
Well, we've been talking with Captain Beefheart. He's, again, he's not going to be here in the next few days.
Wait a minute, I don't want to be here, man.
Well, he's going to be here, but he's not going to be performing for large numbers of people. You might, if you find yourself in the right restaurant, perhaps, or motel, or bus waiting room or something, you might find him there. But otherwise, you'll have to wait. Or maybe go to New York, hop on that bus, go down to New York City. There'll be a town hall this Saturday night, and he'll be back in Boston probably before it gets very much colder.
Pardon me?
Before it gets very much colder, you'll be back in Boston. How do you feel about how do you feel about chapped lips today?
I'll warm it up when I get here.
Today is my annual chapped lip prevention program, and I'd like you to say a few words about the cause of chapped lip prevention, because it is
butter up. Butter up your lips.
Would butter do it?
Well,
what do you do? Do you ever get chapped lips? From playing wet harmonicas all the time? From playing wet harmonicas all the time?
Well, I occasionally get chapped lips, but what I do is I put vitamin E on them, you know, like you get the capsule, pop the vitamin E capsule and put it on your lips. Better, a hell of a lot better than chapstick or any of that stuff.
And it's certainly legal, too, and it's good for you.
Not only that, but the thing is that chapstick. Anyway, the thing is that that stuff doesn't have hexachloroprene in it. Something. I mean, some of those things do. And that's bad for the neuro system.
They come in flavors now,
Smog
too.
Smog isn't. No, I'm just kidding. But, pardon me?
They have flavors now, too. Artificial
I know
flavoring.
They've got all kinds of flavors and favors to do for us.
And for one's lips. Well, we'll see you around. Thanks for visiting.
Well, I enjoyed it very much.
Your album will be out November 5th?
I think November 5th, yeah.
We'll have to ask
Ed Thrasher. I think it will be out. And it's about time everybody had a clear spot.
Is that going to be the gist of your advertising campaign?
Clear spot.
It's about time everyone had a clear spot.
It is about time everybody had a clear spot.
Can you describe the packaging again? Because some people might have just joined
us.
Yeah,
it's like a see-through baby diaper hamper type of thing. You know, like it's like a see-through piece of plastic with a full flap, and it says Clear Spot, you know, and Basso Relievio, you know, raised up, and all in clear plastic, Clear Spot. And inside of the record just slides in, you know, and you can see the gut working of the record. you know.
Is there a lyric sheet within?
Oh, no, but the words are so plain that...
anybody can understand them.
Sure.